Games play a big role in today's digital world, but board and card games are still out there and still popular. All of these forms of game entertainment have to start somewhere, and there's a pretty good game development community here in St. Louis. In early August, that community will be joined by developers from over the country. They'll be attending something called the Pixel Pop Festival here. It brings game creators and players together. And with me to discuss St. Louis's game scene are Carol Mertz, independent games producer and executive director of the Pixel Pop Festival. Christopher Bedell is the founder of Greater Than Games and the designer of Sentinels of the Multiverse. And TJ Hughes is a game creator and founder of Terrifying Jellyfish. Christopher, did I pronounce your name correctly? Is it Bedell?
100% correct.
Okay, great. Good to have that. Let me start with you, Carol. What sort of a game community do we have here in St. Louis? I gather it is fairly extensive.
Yeah, we have a really excellent game community in St. Louis, actually. And as you said, it spans both digital and tabletop, and we even have some experimental game creators who are working on robotics and installations and really interesting projects like that. But we have these really excited developers and these really excited creators who have suddenly kind of found each other within the last probably 5 years or so and realized that we're more powerful together. And we've been able to share ideas and share inspirations with one another, and that's seen a real boost in the quality of games work that's been coming out of St. Louis in the past few years. It's really exciting.
Christopher, one of the things I noticed in getting ready for the program, and Carol has alluded to it, is this sense of collaboration. I mean, typically, that doesn't happen. What happens is you're rivals. You're trying to better the other, if you will.
Right. Well, it's, I think, somewhat unique to the gaming industry, and that in general, the gaming industry in a micro sense competes in that when you want to buy a game and you've got your $20, you're going to put it down on one product. But beyond that, if you're a person who likes games and you've played games and you've enjoyed them, you want to get more games. So for us, it's better for us to all be making the best games we can, be making good games and putting quality out there so that when you finish one game, you can go on to the next, you can go on to the next, and there's always something new to find.
TJ, what is the process for developing a game, and a successful game?
Yes, it really varies from game to game and, like, what genre you're making, whether it's, an online game, like, local game, a board game. Like, there's just so many different approaches. But basically, it combines all types of mediums, like art, music, there's math in there. There's just so many things that get combined. Like, you can use cinematography. Like, you can just pull from so many different sources. And it all just, like, is put into this one product. And, like, it's really satisfying once you've created something.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you could tell me the process for making a successful game, I'll take notes right
yeah,
now.
I'll take notes right now.
I think a lot of us spend a lot of time designing games and developing games and working on games that never even come to fruition. I would say that a lot more ends up on the cutting room floor than ever goes to the public. But in general, it starts with an idea of this is fun. Something is fun. Some mechanical aspect or some conversational aspect or pushing some button, something about that is in of itself fun. And then how do we turn that fun into an experience that isn't just doing the fun mechanical thing, but also changing you as a person, telling a story, doing something bigger than just the initial mechanical spark.
Yes.
Is there really a market out there for something other than digital games? It would seem to me that that's where everything is right now, that card games, board games, passé.
Oh, not at all. Actually, especially with, this huge influx of digital media that's surrounding us all the time, more and more we're looking for opportunities to spend time with our friends in person. So board game nights, tabletop game nights are really seeing a resurgence. And we're seeing so much more creativity and so much more exciting products coming out in the tabletop game space because also we have access to things like Kickstarter and creative opportunities that we didn't have 10, 20 years ago. So we're seeing a lot more experimentation. We're seeing a lot more interesting games coming out that aren't just Monopoly. These are games that really speak to us and games that can really create, as Christopher said, remarkable experiences experiences that can change us and provide opportunities to connect with each other.
Well, don't put down Monopoly. I wish I had invented Monopoly.
Sure.
It's still going pretty strong.
Very strongly, yes. Yeah. No.
Who are the gamers today? I mean,
Everyone.
Yeah.
No, we see gamers of all ages. I go to a lot of conventions and sell games there and teach people games there. And just this weekend, I was teaching games to people that were younger than 10 years old and older than 60 years old. And we see people of all walks of life and all ages and all types of people playing games because there's something – games are created in a way that there is – the universal ability to read some text on a card or to push a button on a computer or something, and that accessibility is becoming more and more important in games. So,
right. Have you all invented games?
Yes.
Or created games, yes. I suppose I should say.
That's a fair way to look at it.
TJ, yeah. You can make a lot of money if you score a big one, can't you?
Yes, definitely. There's so many examples of developers who have created a game and just like it took off. It skyrocketed. Look at games like Minecraft, where it's just like they started in just this person's room just coding one night, and then they develop into these just huge, amazing things that are now like in classrooms.
Phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, really. And but it's also weird because games also have sort of a fortune or famine type thing where like some people, they can make an amazing game, but no one can see it. No one discovers their game. And it's unfortunate, but like there's definitely methods around that and like marketing practices to avoid that. But it's an unfortunate thing that like it's not guaranteed that your game will do well based on the quality.
Yeah. As the game industry is getting bigger and bigger, we're running into something that's a lot like other medias where there's tons and tons of talented singers out there that are all the time trying to get noticed and trying to get recognized and trying to get discovered for their singing ability. And it's the same thing with games where you can make an amazing game that is perfect. You've made a perfect game and everything about it is great. But if it doesn't manage to get in the right cultural eye, if nobody sees it, it doesn't go anywhere. We got very lucky with our first game that it really exploded, and we sold out of our first print run in just a few months. And we built a whole company on that, but not everyone's so fortunate.
Well, I would think that with today's social media being what it is, that that's the way to connect. I mean, isn't it?
It's certainly one of the ways, but yeah. A big way for us, like I mentioned, I go to a lot of conventions, and that direct person-to-person interaction is just as important because if I put a post on social media saying, hey, I have this game, that has a certain amount of reach. But if I show 10 people at a convention this game and those 10 people talk about it on their social medias, now my reach is tenfold. And so that's the thing that I really want, is I want to make sure that I have visibility to as many different people who've played the game, who've enjoyed the game, and they themselves are going to go out and talk about it. Because word of mouth is always the strongest advertisement.
Let's talk a little bit about your games. And I'll start with you, Carol. Tell me something, a little something about games that you've created.
I've made a handful in all forms of media. I've done I've done a card game. I've done several digital games, and I've done an experimental game even, and game installations actually recently for the Pulitzer Arts Foundation last year, in conjunction with TJ over here. My most notable game though is probably my card game, which is called Pass the Buck, a game of corporate responsibility management.
Uh-huh. Just give me a little bit more about that. It's climbing the corporate ladder.
Yeah. The idea is that all the players are corporate employees, and everybody has tasks to get done, and everybody has a department that they're in. But you don't want anybody to know what department you're in because you're trying to figure out who you can pass your tasks off onto based on their department, and you're trying to avoid getting work passed to you based on your department. It's based on a true story.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
I would think it would have to be. And is it doing well?
It's as TJ said, it's hard to get noticed. Yeah. It's paid for itself, which is actually relatively remarkable in the game industry, as it is difficult to get a sustainable income in any entertainment medium.
Is this your job, game development, or is it kind of an aside from something else?
This particular game was an aside. It was a side project amid doing client work for others, making games for clients or doing interactive projects for clients.
Christopher, tell me about your best game.
My best game, you mentioned earlier, is called Sentinels of the Multiverse. In 2011, we released Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is a game that I designed. It's a cooperative superhero card game in which 3 to 5 heroes fight against a villain in an environment. Nobody plays as the villain. Nobody plays the environment. Each of the players are heroes. So if the 4 of us were playing the game, we'd all be heroes fighting against a villain in an environment. There's tons of different heroes and villains and environments and settings and stuff that come with the game. And we released that in 2011 to a lot of critical acclaim and have sold tens of thousands of copies of that internationally since then. It is certainly our best-selling game, and it's also one of the best-selling cooperative games in the world. On the bones of that game, we built a company, Greater Than Games, which now has 10 full-time employees. We're located here in St. Louis, and we've made a dozen different games. We've got new games coming out all the time, and we've been very successful in the last 6 years.
So. Was it your game that was cited by Time Magazine, or was it TJ's?
You're thinking of Butterscotch Shenanigans, made a game called Crashlands that was cited as one of Time Magazine's top 10.
And that's a St. Louis game?
Yes, that was made in St. Louis.
Who did that?
A team called Butterscotch Shenanigans. Oh, the Custer brothers are...
None of us.
I have to confess I'm not familiar with that, particular outfit.
That's okay.
TJ, how about one of your games, your best game, the one of which you're most proud?
Yeah, so my first game, actually, which is called Fish. It's a game where you play as a little fish creature, and you have to eat smaller fish to get bigger, and you have to avoid the bigger fish because they will try to eat you. And so that was my first game that I've ever, like, finished. I was 16 when I first when I made the first version of it as a part of something called a game jam. It's where you're given a theme, and you have to create a game from scratch within 48 hours. And so I just, on a whim, decided to participate, and I actually finished something. I was so proud. I was just like, oh my gosh, I actually, like, finished a complete product. And so I've just been polishing it up over the years, and I released it a little over a year ago on a platform called Steam. And it's 99 cents, and it's sold better than I could have guessed. Like, I expected nothing from the game because I was just putting it out there just to put out my first project, which is a huge hurdle for so many developers to just, like, put something out and, like, actually finish something. So I put that out there, and to this day it's sold over 7,000 copies, and, like, I'm just so, like, floored because I didn't expect anything from it. It was just a dream of mine to get a game out there, and, like, to see it do so well, like, it was just really awesome for me.
And how many since then? If that was your first, how many have you done since?
So that was sort of my introduction into games, and so after I released that, the next game I didn't release myself, but I helped release a game called Smugglecraft, and I was working on that with Happy Badger Studio. I was doing technical art on it, so particle effects and, like, just anything involving color was what I did on the game. And we released that on PC and also PlayStation 4, which was a huge for me because, like, I've always dreamt of releasing on a console, like, ever since I was a kid, and so that was really cool to work on that with a whole team, and, like, I know what it's like now to work on a team of other talented devs.
Christopher, it sounds like you've got a factory going with your operation.
We have just over 1,000 square feet of office space and over 12,000 square feet of warehouse space here in St. Louis, because everything we make is a physical product, so we have to have storage for all that, and we go to conventions all over the world. We'll be in Germany later this year. We were in England earlier this year for UK Games Expo, and a big part of the job, besides making the games, printing the games, developing the games, getting them into our factory and our warehouse and shipping them out to all of our customers, is also promoting those games by going to these conventions and conferences, Pixel Pop.
Is it an expensive proposition to get into the game development business?
Yeah, and in fact, it is not only, especially if you want to make a game to get it out to a lot of stores and stuff, there's a lot of cost associated with all the different steps of that, and a lot of people have talked to me about, you know, oh, so you make games for a living, how do I do that? And I say, you get lucky. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the first 2 or 3 years of the game company we did not really make money, and none of us that were working for the company got paid anything. It is only very recently that we've actually been able to pull paychecks and now hire more employees and do more things. But it is there's a lot of risk, and it's a very full market. Not to say you shouldn't make games, but when you make a game, you should make something unique. You should make something new and different. And there's a lot of space for that still.
Yeah. I would say making fun for a living is always a high risk endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Carol, how many Carols, TJs, and Christophers are there in St. Louis?
In St. Louis, we have, well, there's only one of each of us.
I know. Everyone's unique.
We have a pretty sizable community here. We have, I would say, several dozen tabletop game developers. Mm-hmm. And hundreds of hobbyist and professional digital developers. As TJ mentioned, we have a game jam every year in St. Louis mm-hmm. called the Global Game Jam that actually happens at UMSL. And generally, we pull about 300 people citywide who come and they form teams and they make a game in a weekend.
Yeah. At our most recent one, what were we, like the second biggest in the country?
In the United States,
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my notes here. I know you've got a couple of things coming up. Yeah. I'm astonished that there are that many people involved in it. I don't know why I should be. Yeah. But you're talking about 300. That's a sizable community.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a couple of events. I mentioned early on that you're executive director of Pixel Pop. Is that correct?
Yeah, Pixel Pop Festival.
That's happening August 5th and 6th at SLU.
The Bush Student Center.
What is that all about? And it's bringing people in from all over the country?
Yes. Yeah. Pixel Pop is a celebration of unique games and the people who make them possible. So what we do is we bring in developers, creators from all over the country, whether it's digital, tabletop, or experimental, and we just kind of share our ideas, we share our experiences and our projects, and it's a conference. It's a way for the community to connect. And it's in a place where people can more easily drive to it, as opposed to being someplace, you know, on the coast. This is a way for everybody to be able to kind of find a central hub, a central location, and come together and share their experiences.
Once again, this idea of collaboration and coordinate and all the rest of it.
Yes, absolutely.
There aren't too many businesses, I think, that do it that way.
Yeah, it is really a unique part of especially the independent game creation community. Yeah. It's been so remarkable becoming a part of that community and realizing that it's possible to be a part of a community without competition.
Is this the kind of an event or someone who thinks maybe I'd like to get started doing something like this to come to and
absolutely.
Kind of we actually ask questions.
Yes, we pull a lot of students. There's a lot of folks who come in from all stages and from all experience levels. So we have industry professionals who are giving talks and seminars. We also have developers who are just demoing their games and showing their projects in development. And so it's a really great opportunity for people who are just interested in maybe coming into game development and game creation and learning from seasoned professionals like the three of us and more.
There's another event, too, that, again, signifies this collaboration that you've got going. This one's on August 1st at, what is it called, the Game Producer Discussion is the way I have it here.
Yes, I believe that's hosted by the St. Louis Game Developer Co-op. So that is more focused on video game developers, but it also incorporates experimental and tabletop developers. But it's an open roundtable discussion on how to improve the games community in St. Louis.
Okay. We'll put information on all of these events on our website. As time begins to wind down, I'll start with go back to Christopher and TJ for a moment. Christopher, what's on the drawing board now? I mean, what's the next big thing for you?
Well, we've got lots of games we're making. We've made a lot of board and card games over the years, but we're about to release, we're about to release a tabletop RPG. So the most famous example of that is a game called Dungeons & Dragons. But there's other games like that as
even
well.
Even I've heard of that.
Right, exactly. See, that's the pop culture one that's known. Sure. But we're going to release a game like that set in the same world, the same setting as the Sentinels of the Multiverse line of games. So we're making a superhero RPG is the short version of that. And that's the next big thing that we're doing. But we've also got a lot of other games that we have just come out that we're working on. And right now, as a company, we're very focused on an upcoming convention, not just Pixel Pop, which I am going to be at doing a panel, but also in Indianapolis in mid-August, there is a show called Gen Con that is it's the biggest game convention in the United States and the most important one for us as a company. And so as a company, we are certainly currently scrambling and planning to get everything ready for that because we have a big presence there and we're looking to see I think there was like 60 or 70,000 people there last year. Ooh. And this year it's going to be significantly larger. So,
TJ, what's on your drawing board?
Yeah, so right now I'm working on a game called Noor. It's an experimental game. It's a experimental food art game specifically. So you're presented with scenes with food, say like a steaming bowl of ramen or bubble tea or a lot of Asian influenced foods actually. And just like fun foods like popcorn or gummy worms. And what you do is you just press buttons. There's no goals. There's no objectives. You just press buttons and interact with your food and just like play with it almost like you're a kid again.
Right. Carol, can anybody do this? We've only got 15 or 20 seconds left. Can anybody get into this field?
Absolutely. If it's something that you're interested in, it's something you should try.
All righty. Well, I want to thank you all for giving me an education today. I had no idea this was going on in our community, but congratulations to all of you for your success and for your creativity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We have been talking with Carol Mertz, Christopher Bedell, and TJ Hughes. Again, thank you. Good luck. Hope you have a great event. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.